talk to you a little bit about what he did, his military career, and how he won his medal. So, if I start off, can everyone see my little bit points up on Albert's face?
Yeah.
You can see it, okay, good. Right, as we know, Albert was born in Alice Street, off Decimus Street. He went to Decimus Street Boys Club, and he also went to Webb Street School, which is the school next door, which is now called Grange School. He joined the Royal Naval Boys Service in 1913 at the age of 15. He trained at HMS Ganges, where he excelled in boxing, which no doubt he learned his skills at the club, and he actually went on to win some medals. 2 years later, he joined HMS Neptune, where he continued his boxing, and he actually became the Grand Fleet lightweight champion. For 5'2", Albert McKenzie certainly packed a punch. I should just go on now and quickly tell you about Zeebrugge Harbour, which is obviously what the raid was about. Now, Zeebrugge Harbour, when it was built, was actually the largest man-made structure in the world. This, if you can see, this is the harbour wall, which is actually named the Mall. That's what they call it, the Mall. It protected the mouth of the Bruges Canal, which is here, which was actually home, if you look down there to the docks, this was the home of the German submarines. And what they were doing, they were coming out into the English Channel and they were sinking the Allied merchant ships. The harbour was actually defended by German guns, which you can see the batteries along the walls there. And they were big guns, I mean, they were sort of 4, 5, 6 inch guns, machine gun nests. And there was also hundreds of German troops which were stationed on the Mall and around the local area. So it was a very heavily defended place. The Zeebrugge raid. Right, what was happening? Well, the German U-boats, as I said, were sinking up to 400 Allied ships a month. Britain had to start rationing. Britain was actually starving. The Germans wanted to starve Britain into submission, and they were succeeding. There had been talk in the Admiralty about attacking Zeebrugge for a number of years, but it was considered too dangerous. But from pressure from the government and other people, and seemed to be doing something. The Admiralty appointed Roger Keyes, who at the time was the youngest Admiral in the fleet, and he had a reputation as a go-getter. The plan was to sail 3 ships around inside the harbour, place them in the mouth of the Bruges Canal, and sink them, therefore stopping the German U-boats getting their hands to the channel. Another part of the plan was that this, although this was made of concrete, the mould was made of concrete, there was a metal fire duct here. And what they wanted to do was bring a submarine loaded with explosives, sailing under the fire duct, then the crew would escape by means of a motor launch, and then they would explode it, set it off, and cut the means to resupply the German troops stranded on the Mall. Now, to do this, because it was so dangerous, to get the ships in position, they needed a diversion. Therefore, being so dangerous, they asked from the Grand Fleet 200 volunteers. The stipulation for them was they had to be physically fit, good sportsmen, single, with no dependents, for obvious reasons. They got their volunteers, Albert volunteered, and they joined the detachment of the Royal Marines. They did their training in secret in a town, I can't remember the name of it, but it was down near Chatham, where they actually built a replica of the Mall, which I think was manned by soldiers of the Middlesex Regiment that acted as the enemy troops. And after training, all the troops were lined up and they were given one last opportunity to drop out. If they didn't want to do it, they didn't have to. But no one took up that opportunity and they carried on. So I'll just move on to the battle. On the 22nd of April, 76 ships, 1,700 men, set south for Zeebrugge. They landed at the Mull at 1 minute past midnight on St George's Day. Albert Mackenzie was on the Vindictive.
I don't know if you can see it there.
He was part of a Lewiston team, which consisted of four men. When they were approaching the harbour, they set off a huge smoke screen, which worked for a little while, until the wind changed direction, and they were spotted. The Germans sent up star shells. The fleet was shown in all its glory, and the Germans started firing at the approaching ships. The German guns, as I said before, they were quite big pieces of kit, and they caused absolute devastating damage, especially on HMS Vindictive, where Albert was a crew member. They smashed it to pieces and killed a huge amount of guys before they even landed on the Mull. They had a big difficulty once they got alongside the Mull because the swell of the sea was moving, the ships were moving, they had to try and secure them to the docks for the guys to get off. So it was a pretty messy situation they found themselves in. When they finally secured the Vindictive, they found that 10 out of the 12 gangplanks had been destroyed. There was only two ways of getting two gangplanks left to get the surviving troops onto the Mull. Lieutenant Commander Adams, who was one of the only officers left alive on the Vindictive, rallied his troops, and in the face of withering machine gun fire, small arms fire and large calibre guns, with Albert Mackenzie by his side, I might add, moved and started to move onto the Mull. Albert's machine gun team, half of them were dead, two guys had already been killed. So Albert and his offer, carrying two people's ammunition, so they were carrying approximately 100 pounds worth of kit each. Albert had a Lewis gun, which I think weighs about 28 pounds, tucked under his arm, onto the gangplanks, onto the Mull, and they advanced. They advanced towards a concrete observation post, where they caught in the open some enemy troops running from the observation post to a German destroyer, which is that one now. Albert seeing them set his Lewis gun up and managed to kill 12 of them. Again, they come under amazing intense fire, and they tried to reach a fortified position on the Mull to try and get some cover. But such was the fire and the wave of it and the accuracy of it, that many of Albert's comrades were killed or wounded. So they were forced to withdraw. They withdrew, back up the Mull. They regrouped, they rallied, they got hold of everyone that could walk or move or stand up, and they attacked again. Albert was at the front, again firing his Lewis gun and spraying the enemy positions. Eventually, Albert's gun was shot away, and all he was left with was a pistol grip and a butt in his arm. He was shot away from him. So he picked it up with his ammunition and threw the ammunition and the gun into the sea. He then drew out his pistol, and I think he picked up a bayonet, and he continued to advance forward, dispatching enemy soldiers where he could. Unfortunately, Albert was then critically wounded in his back and his right foot. Sorry, I should have shown this before. This is a drawing depicting the troops leaving the Vindictive onto the Mull on one of the two gangplanks that was put there. So he was wounded, in a lot of trouble. And then the troops heard a large explosion, and what happened was the diversion had partly worked. They'd managed to get the submarine round, underneath the jetty, set it off, destroyed it. So there was no German reinforcements could enter the battle. The ships were also sunk in place, and the signal to retire came. So grabbing all the people they could, the dying, the wounded, they retired to HMS Vindictive and the other ships that were waiting for them. This is a fight. This is the fighting on the Mull. And this is Albert being carried back by two of his comrades. They could only carry him some of the way though, and eventually Albert had to make his own way, crawling on his hands and knees, and managed to crawl back onto the Vindictive, where he was immediately taken to the sick bay. The aftermath of the raid. Well, it had been a success. The ships had been sunk, the German U-boats had been, to some extent, stopped from entering the channel, and the diversion had worked. It was a costly raid. It cost 161 dead, 75 of which were Royal Marines who were killed by a single shell. 28 later died of their wounds, 383 were wounded, 16 were missing, and 13 were taken prisoner. Winston Churchill said of the raid, "The raid on Zeebrugge may well rank as the finest feat of arms in the Great War, and certainly is an episode unsurpassed in the history of the Royal Navy." Now, the men of the three assault ships, which are the Vindictive, the Iris and the Daffodil, and the men of the Royal Naval Storming Party, they were given a chance to vote for who they would like to win the VC out of their number. And they chose Albert, which I think to get the award from your peers is magnificent. They'll vote for Albert. Albert was the first London sailor to win the VC, and I believe he was the first one to win the VC by ballot, which is the vote of his comrades. His citation, which was gazetted on the 22nd of July 1918, read, "This rating belongs to B Company of the Seaman Storming Party. On the night of the operation, he landed on the mole with his machine gun in the face of great difficulties and did very good work. Using his gun to the utmost advantage, he advanced down the mole with Lieutenant Commander Harrison, who with most of his party was killed, and accounted for several of the enemy running from the shelter to a destroyer alongside the mole. This very gallant seaman was severely wounded whilst working his gun in an exposed position. Able seaman Mackenzie was selected by the seamen of the Vindictive, the Iris and the Daffodil, and of the Naval Assaulting Force to receive the Victoria Cross." Now, Albert was critically injured, but he was actually overcoming his injuries, and I think, if I'm right, he had blood poisoning. So his immune system was very low. And at the end of the First World War, I don't know if you're all aware, but there was an epidemic of flu, and it killed 80 million people. And unfortunately, Albert caught the flu, and because his immune system couldn't cope with his injuries and the flu, he died. He died on the 3rd of November 1918, which is a week before the end of the war. And at his funeral, a letter from the King and Queen read, "In the special circumstances of able seaman Albert Edward Mackenzie's lamentable death, and the fact of his being a VC and the first London sailor to receive the most honourable reward, you are authorised to express the public funeral on St Mark's Camberwell the sympathy of their Majesties with their widowed mother and family. Their Majesties were grieved to hear of his untimely death and to think that he had been spared so short a time to wear the proud decoration which he so nobly won." So that is a very short history of Albert. I've scratched the surface really. I hope you found it interesting, and I hope it gives you a little bit of an insight into what Albert did and what happened to him. So that's my bit done. I'm